Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His word. The topic of this devotional is living with hope. Our scripture is Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22, chapter 7, verse 17, and chapter 9, verses 8 through 15.
Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them." Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth, I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood, neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh."
Imagine running a marathon without a designated finish line. Without a clear direction, you'd get off course. With no hope of finishing, you might even just quit running. It's hope for the finish line that provides the direction and motivation for the race. And this applies to life as well. Hope can come from things like an upcoming vacation or a possible promotion. But the Bible offers a hope that's more concrete, more dependable, more life-giving. We just read an account of a man who lived with hope in God. At the start of this passage, we see that God is grieved because of the way the sin of mankind has only seemed to increase. Because he is just, God must judge the world for its sin, and he promises to send a great flood. Many years pass from the time God announces the coming flood to the time of the actual event to give people a chance to repent. Amidst all the evil, we see one righteous person named Noah. Genesis 6, 8 through 9 says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a righteous person, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God." God approaches Noah, warning him of the coming flood, and tells Noah to build an ark with specific instructions for how to do so. Noah obeys. Hebrews 11:7 comments on Noah's obedience, saying, "By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." Think about the type of faith Noah is acting on. He's building a giant boat on dry land for a flood that God doesn't send for many more years. Think about the humiliation he must have felt as others made fun of him. Think about the waiting period to see God's promise come through. Noah is having to live by faith, not by sight. This phrase, "live by faith," is one we might have heard many times without really grasping its meaning. But stories like Noah's make it so much more clear and powerful. To live by faith is to have your life shaped by hope for that which is yet to come instead of what you currently see. After Noah finishes the ark, the flood comes and it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. After the rain, God causes the flood water to recede from the earth. The imagery here is reminiscent of creation. Just as God ordered the original heavens and earth out of deep waters, so God again creates order here out of the chaotic floodwaters. Just as in the original creation account, the Spirit hovered over the waters, so we see here that God causes a wind to pass over the waters. And just as God gave Adam and Eve the command to be fruitful and multiply, so God gives Noah the same command. All of this signifies a fresh start, a new creation. God then makes a promise to Noah. God guarantees that he will care for and preserve all that he has made. God promises to never again flood the earth in judgment, and he designates the rainbow to be a sign of this promise. For believers today, the Bible draws a lot of continuity between Noah's story and ours. 1 Peter 3:20 through 21 tells us that just as Noah was brought safely through the water in an ark, so we are brought safely through the water of God's judgment by baptism in Christ. Christ is our refuge from the storm of God's judgment. And just as Noah was brought into a new creation, so we are made into a new creation through Christ. Jesus' death on the cross was the start of the renewal of all of creation, the reversal of the curse given at the Garden of Eden. When we become believers, we are given new hearts that are freed from slavery to sin and able to love God. We become a part of God's new creation, entering into God's grand plan of renewal that will be fulfilled at Christ's second coming. And just as Noah lived with hope, so we live with the hope of Christ's second coming. In this future reality, all things will be made new. God will make a new heaven and a new earth and come to dwell among his people. Revelation 21:3-4 describes this reality, saying God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Revelation 22 tells us that we will reign with God forever and ever. So as believers, we've been saved from God's judgment through Christ. We've been made into a new creation. And we've been given hope for Christ's second coming when everything will be restored. But a question that enters my mind and that you might be wondering as well is, what does this hope mean for me practically? How does it impact my daily life? Living with hope practically manifests itself as obedience to God. I'll say that again. Living with hope manifests itself as obedience to God. For example, just as Noah obediently built the ark in faith, so we obey God's command to love our enemies, hoping that Christ's love will flow through us and bring them into a relationship with God. Or we obey God by maintaining joy in suffering, confident in our hope that God will one day reward our faithful suffering and banish its effects in the new heaven and new earth. And we obey by giving sacrificially, storing up treasures in heaven instead as we expectantly await our eternal reality to come. Just like Noah, we live by faith and not by sight. We fear and obey God, even when it doesn't make sense from the world's perspective, because our hope for eternal life shapes our present reality. A personal example of where hope has led to obedience in my life is in my career. All throughout college, when I thought about what I wanted to do for work, I struggled with wanting to do something that would look really impressive. I wrestled with choosing a career path that would prove I was smart and accomplished versus a less glamorous path with work I was actually passionate about. Throughout my struggle with this, the Lord taught me to fix my eyes on an eternal perspective. All that mattered was God's opinion of me. After I die and go to be with God, no earthly accomplishments or people's opinions of me will be relevant. This hope for eternal life provided me with the perspective to make a decision for my job that was based on faithfulness to God, not a desire for approval from others. If you're like me, you need this hope to keep you on track in life. Hope is what gives us the direction and motivation to obey our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. God, thank you for saving me and for making me into a new creation in Christ. Thank you that my life is infused with direction and purpose because of the hope you have given me. Let my life be shaped by this hope instead of what I see around me. Help me to obey you in confident expectation of your future promises to be fulfilled. Amen. As you listen to the worship song, think about an area in your life that is impacted by your hope in Christ and his future return. Take some time to thank God for this hope.
I am hurting. Why is this happening to me? I am hurting. Can you hear me? Will you hide yourself from me? I am hurting. Help me to believe. You are peace in the middle of the storm. You still speak when all my hope is gone. I believe in the valley low and long that you are with me. I am not alone. heard about you, but now I see you. What can separate me from the love of Jesus? I had heard about you.